Hi, this is Alex Williams, founder and publisher of The New Stack. We want to thank you and let you know that we now are on Simplecast. Subscribe and listen on Simplecast and create your own podcast audiograms with our Simplecast player. Share with friends and let the world know the topics and developments that are most important to you. Go to thenewstack.io and subscribe to the All New Makers Podcast on Simplecast. Welcome to The New Stack Makers, a podcast where we talk about application, development, deployment, and management. Now on Simplecast.
Kasten, an independent Kubernetes business unit within Veeam, is the market leader for Kubernetes backup, disaster recovery, and mobility. Kasten is tackling day two data management challenges by helping teams run cloud-native applications. Its award-winning K10 data management platform is easy to use, scalable, secure, and runs everywhere Kubernetes exists.
Hey, we're here for another episode of The New Stack Makers. And today I'm very excited as we're going to be talking about the recent Cloud Native Data Management Day and really the state of data management. It's now a time when we're actually talking about data management, and it's not just some ephemeral concept that would come up in its earlier days. Now the time is here and we're seeing data management being a much bigger issue, especially when we're bringing more state into these stateless environments that is Kubernetes. And so joining me for the conversation today is Michael Cade, Senior Global Technologist at VM Software. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Alex.
Good to see you here. And Nigel Poulton, owner at nigelpoulton.com. There in the gaming chair. You can't see it, but he's got a great gaming chair there, showing us all about what, you know, what it really means to be a technologist these days.
Yeah, cheers, Alex. It's a pleasure to be here.
So maybe, Nigel, you know, I'll start with you. And Nigel and Michael, I really want you all to have this conversation. Like, Michael, you led the content development at the Cloud Management Day. Nigel, you did the keynote. And you were telling us that one of the real themes that you're interested in is this point in time where we are now. Now, where are we now? What is happening with data management? And how did you see that in the Cloud Management Day overall?
Yeah, so do you know what? Michael might correct me on this, and feel free to do that, Michael, by the way. But I felt like the whole idea of having a Cloud Native Data Management Day co-located at the KubeCon event for Europe, look, it was a fun event, don't get me wrong, but I was kind of involved a little bit in some of the legwork that went on in the background. And I know that there was a lot of legwork that went on. And the people that were involved in putting it together don't put events like this on just for the fun of it. They put them on because there's a need in the community for something like this. So I think the fact that we had a Cloud Native Data Management Day says a lot about where we are as like an ecosystem and a community. Like, the event was a lot of fun, but I don't think organizing it was. And it's just, for me, it's a reflection of both where the technology is at the moment. We're at a point where we can do more than just talk about stuff. We can actually put the rubber to the road sometimes with this data management in the context of containers and Kubernetes, right? But also there's a massive demand for it because I think users are getting beyond, like, it sounds really cheesy, right? But you know that low-hanging fruit that's like stateless applications that anybody can do? We're sort of progressing beyond that, and we're wanting to put more serious applications onto containers and manage them with Kubernetes. So there's this, like, I don't know, is it like almost a perfect storm where the technology is getting there and the customer and the user demand is getting there? Look, I'm pretty excited for what the future holds with this stuff.
Michael, did you find anything in particular when you're organizing the event that struck you about the complexity that people are facing and the questions that people have? You must have been doing a lot of research and getting ready for this and thinking about, you know, where are people right now? And I guess really the question is, how did the talks reflect that? What were some of the needs and interests that you saw?
Yeah, so to your first point, Alex, I think the content is so, no one's a veteran in this space, right? From a data point of view, because of what Nigel's just kind of said, is that no, everyone's been running potentially stateless workloads since day dot, and they've been kind of using that as their foot in the door and starting to leverage that way. And then now stateful workloads are becoming a thing. But then that opens up the door to so much more, like so many applications, so many data services really enable that, the requirement around storage in Kubernetes or cloud native containers, et cetera. But I think that the key thing that we wanted to make sure that it wasn't just a, from a data management point of view. So I'm at Kasten, so we obviously focused on data management or focusing on backup and recovery of workloads. We didn't want it to be just about that, just because we're like helping to bring up this community. It was never about a product pitch or a pitch around what we're doing. It's more of around that the application, again, that Nigel touched on. So the databases, the data services, getting that point across, having the community come together and submit their sessions for that, as well as also the vendors that did sponsor the event and then did contribute to the sessions as well. It was a very clear and concise like demand from them, is that this is a community driven event and we have to start telling the story around how community grows is by being able to help each other. But I think to go back to the point is that there's people all along their journey from a learning point of view, whether they're implementing Kubernetes with stateful workloads, whether they're even if they've even taken that jump yet. Some and the majority of people are very much still foot in the water, understanding what Kubernetes is, what containerization does, how it could adapt and change their workloads. So we obviously, from a content point of view, we had to spread ourselves very wide in where we covered what we covered. But there was lots of great sessions in there that I'm sure we'll get into as well today.
Hey, Alex, can I just pick up on something that Michael said there about there being no experts in this field? And I do agree with you, Michael, right? That, you know, doing data management with containers on Kubernetes is new to just about everybody. But do you know what I think is really interesting? Is that a lot of the companies that are coming to the party now in the data management space, while they might not be experts at doing data management in Kubernetes with containers, they are experts at doing data management. So we've got almost this, I know it's not super new anymore, but we still do kind of think of containers and Kubernetes as new technology. So let's just take that as table, right? They're new. But a lot of the data management expertise and technologies and things that we are bringing to the party now are battle-hardened, battle-tested, like production-grade stuff. So I know we've talked a lot, Michael, about you have options as well, right? So you can go with like a cloud-native, brand new specialist storage company that does backup and recovery and data management for containers. But if you're like one of these more traditional enterprises that's super cautious about taking on new partners, you can now bring your existing partners, household names that have done data management for years, right? And you can expose not just their storage assets, but increasingly their storage clevers and data management clevers into your Kubernetes cluster to be consumed by your applications that are running there now. So it's almost like there's a hesitancy, isn't there, to take on new technologies. Oh, containers and Kubernetes, so new, right? And data management is new to that. But a lot of the time, the data management that we're bringing into it is not new. So like we're almost resting back on something that we've trusted for years, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess everything sits on the same stuff that it sat on for virtualization, for physical, for what is cloud IaaS and SaaS and PaaS. Everything still sits on computer. Everything still lives on some storage somewhere, to put it into a finer point. And that daunting, I get it, does look very daunting when you step foot into the container and Kubernetes world, and you have to then go and listen to Nigel's training sessions, and he gets you up to speed on what it is. But it's not as daunting when you get into it, and then you start to familiarize yourself with, oh, actually, yeah, data is still data, storage is still storage, compute is still compute. And once you start grasping the terminology, well, then everything else just slots into place like a jigsaw puzzle.
I feel like, although that containers and Kubernetes, and if we look at the more generic things of microservices design patterns and cloud native this and that, we have sort of reinvented the wheel in the way that we design and deploy and manage our applications. I just feel like increasingly, though, on the infrastructure side of things, those three pillars of of infrastructure, generally speaking, compute, networking, and storage. They just, like you say, they look, smell, and feel just like they did with virtual machines and physicals, and probably, and I'm not qualified to say this, but I feel like even mainframes and things like that, the way we attach storage and networking and stuff, it's just the same across the board. We've reinvented a bunch of stuff at the application side of things, but the infrastructure stuff, I don't know, we're like dragging it along with us almost.
Yeah, I think that's an awesome point, Nigel. I think and like you said before, data's data, right? And yes, we've got there's a potential complexity if you want to spin it that way. If you want to go the negative way, we could say that there's complexity in presenting that data to your application, or we could go the other way and say, no, we're just doing what we should have done before, and we're innovating on the platforms that we have available to us. And then when it comes to data management, and without, I don't really want to talk about who I work for, but when virtualization came along, putting agents on virtual machines was never going to be a good fit for backing up those machines. So then Veeam came along and we went an agentless approach and did it that way. And now we're into Kubernetes. Well, funnily enough, those virtualization platforms, the virtualization data management engines, they're not going to be fit for purpose now in Kubernetes. And that's the important point. And in fact, it's not just from a Veeam point of view. This is all data management companies. They all have an offering, especially those big, the household names that Nigel mentioned. They all have a story to tell in this world. And it's all benefiting what we already know, but we always get better. We always evolve. With everything that we do, it's all about an evolution. And whether that's because now our application developers can now speak to our operations, or maybe it's the same person, have an understanding of both sides of the fence now, rather than throwing things over the fence to each other. This is very much the world's getting a bit tighter, a bit closer together, and we're benefiting from that. And don't get me wrong, whatever's next will probably bridge that gap or make things even better. But this kind of goes into why we wanted to start or at least continue Cloud Native Data Management Day, is to kind of let people know that it shouldn't be as daunting as maybe it first seems. And just sitting on a couple of 15-minute sessions, 20-minute sessions here and there is a good way of starting to understand. And I've known light bulbs go off every now and again to say, oh yeah, that's the same as what I've previously known in my virtualization roles or in my physical world or my storage background. And that's the important thing, is growing a community that uplifts everyone into this world.
There are a lot of much more deeper complexities though that come with these distributed environments. And you know, one of the things that you do hear about with, you know, for instance, microservices is the nature of the, you know, of the services themselves. They, you know, each one of those services requires some data store to go with it. That brings a different perspective, doesn't it, Nigel?
So do you know what? I think, like, if we look at networking as an example, just to set the scene for storage, right? So in a microservices world with containers and Kubernetes, networking is still networking. So it's still IP addresses, it's still MAC addresses, it's still layer 2 switches, layer 3 routers, things like that. It had to get more dynamic to deal with like the ephemeral nature of containers, microservices, and things like that. So IP address management became super, super important in the container world. Things like the DNS service that you're running, it had to be a standards-based DNS and it had to be super dynamic and respond quickly as containers come and go. And I feel like, but underpinning that, right, is still the same IP networking and Ethernet and stuff like that. So your containers still have an ETH0 interface, all of that jazz, right? It's kind of the same with storage for the most part, okay? There will be nuances and edge cases, but it's still data stored as bits and bytes at the end of the day. It just has to be, if we think of the networking analogy, and it has to be more dynamic. It has to be able to respond quicker. You know, we might have more volumes and things like that. And the way that they're attached and associated with containers might have to be, well, it will just have to be more dynamic than it did back in the days with virtual machines. But again, they were, you know, the, you know, vSwitches and vSANs and things like that were almost an iteration of what came before that in the physical world. So I feel like, and I know I've said this earlier on, right, but it just does feel like the infrastructure stuff is more of an iteration than it is like a major evolution of anything. Does that make sense to you? I don't know if I'm waffling there.
I think that makes sense, Nigel. I'd go like one step further and kind of say that if you go look at virtualization when that first started, you could call that very complex. And I think the speed in which Kubernetes is becoming less complex is also evident with everything that's going on around the networking stack and CNI, et cetera. And that, I guess that also leads quite nicely into like the container storage interface as well, and what they've done with the object storage interface. All of that is allowing storage vendors, or let's call them storage offerings from the public cloud and storage vendors on premises, to use the same common APIs to expose that storage. It doesn't matter what that storage is. We can use it as we need to.
I wonder, to Alex's point maybe as well, though, and I'm just thinking on the fly here. I know, Michael, you and I have talked about this, but as things become more complex, like Alex was suggesting, then we do kind of get to a point where the old ways of managing things and gluing stuff together don't quite work anymore. Like, for instance, and I know I'm being a little bit daft with this, but back in the day, when you used to map LUNs or storage volumes, we'll call them, from a big enterprise-grade storage array to servers and applications via some honking Excel spreadsheet, right? Clearly not going to work in the world of containers. But we've talked about, and we're not there yet, but it feels like we need to get to the point where, whether it's Kubernetes or whether it is tools that bolt onto or sit above Kubernetes, where they can understand an application as a whole, right? So an application isn't just a piece of code executing. It's a network identity. It's some storage that's associated with it. It's potentially some secrets, you know, SSH keys or things like that that are associated with it. And for the platform to be able to say, okay, this comprises X particular application, so that when we want to protect it, or when we want to migrate it, or when we want to quiesce it, or whatever, it can be done as a whole with an understanding of the application without, you know, any of us really getting involved in the day-to-day stuff. Of course, we're probably going to be involved in how it's originally configured or initially configured. But as things get so much more dynamic and so much more sprawl of things, we just can't manage it anymore. So to have a tool or a platform that will have that sort of holistic application view and understanding is, I think, where we need to get. And I feel like we're on that road, but for sure we're just at, like, it's a really long road and we've only just turned onto it. Yeah.
It makes me think of all the other things that you will need to go with it, right? Such as better monitoring or better observability. Are you seeing that need emerge in the discussions that you're hearing and what you heard at the data management day, the cloud native data management day, Michael?
Yeah, so a lot of the sessions were focused around a lot of the points that me and Nigel and yourself, Alex, have just banded around, really. And things like the CSI and the COSI, they help in the presentation and the presentation of storage to wherever you need that to be. But yeah, we need to have some sort of better observability. And this is all, this all stems from the whole complexity. The goal for us in IT, and this isn't just from a cloud native point of view, is about taking that complexity and simplifying that. And like Nigel said, that road is a long road and potentially windy. And we're very much at the start of that. But all of these need to be considered up front rather than being considered down the road when we are already juggling other and potentially more important workloads. Because at the moment, from an adoption rate, we're still relatively just in the high numbers of enterprise environments. I think we've got an opportunity to get things right here before that we start walking up the big mountain on the road. I don't know what that analogy was, but I think I understand.
You know, another thing too to think about too, and like, you know, that I'd love to hear both your perspectives about is, you know, these companies who are hesitant, who are just like trying to get accustomed to something new. And that's true for everything in the world, right? How are they actually connecting to storage and Kubernetes right now? You know, you've talked about some of the favorite ways that people are doing this that are available now in cloud native, but you know, what we're hearing a lot in the market is everything has to be purpose-built to be built with cloud native. So there is a lot of change there. Nigel, I'd love to get your perspective kind of in context of that and what Michael's saying.
Yeah. So do you know what? I think it's a difficult one. So I do think that we have, through some of the sort of storage and data management startups around the container world, they do come at some of these traditional problems with a different view, and maybe a different approach to it, and that's don't get me wrong, that is great, but it isn't, of course, for everybody. There are some of those customers that need to be able to take what they've always been doing and bring it to the container party, and it's not always just from a technology perspective. I mean, of course, it is sometimes because they've got investment in existing technologies, but they've got existing investment in staff skilling in the way that they've structured their organizations. They've got existing relationships with vendors and with partners in the industry that they trust. You know, that the whole, you don't get sacked for buying IBM or you don't get sacked for buying EMC was what we used to say back in the day in the storage world. So a lot of these companies have baggage like that that isn't really easy to let go of. So we kind of have the best of both worlds. If you are one of those companies, then the way that we've built the interface between that storage layer and Kubernetes via the container storage interface is all standardized, and all of the different vendors, and those can be your on-premises vendors or they can be cloud vendors, they just write a plugin, a CSI plugin, that exposes, like we said before, their assets and their intelligence into Kubernetes. Where it can then just be consumed by applications in a Kubernetes native way. So the way that applications consume storage within Kubernetes now, and even some of the advanced features like, let's call it topology-aware replication and things like that, can be done in a way that's super developer-friendly, and it just, all of these assets, they might be on whatever, right, a NetApp array or an HDS array or something like that. But from an application developer, they're talking to the Kubernetes API. And the API and the CSI driver and all of the other complexities in the background are hidden from them so that they can just go and consume it. And that, I think, is going to be really important. We've got the choice between, I'm not going to call it legacy, even though I've just said the word, right? And we've got the new stuff. And you can kind of pick whichever one you want.
Michael, any thoughts on that? Like, you know, you've worked in, you know, these worlds for a while, you know, from the days of virtualization is still very much a part of people's environment. How you manage like a VM is still a skill set that's really critically important. DevOps is not a new concept anymore. It is, you know, it's been around for a while now. So it's not like rocket science. So what are the scenarios you're seeing with customers out there? What are they doing? Like, how are they, you know, taking these new approaches and bringing them into what they do so they can just at least get started with Kubernetes in these stateful environments? And I know they have much better interfaces now, right? Like CSI, for instance, you know, there's a lot of tools they have, and it seems like that's kind of where we are. We need better tooling. We need to have better ways to improve that developer experience. I was talking to someone I know, and he talked about this slipstream. And I mentioned this in some of our notes beforehand, this slipstream effect, where that's where you really see the value. It just becomes part of their workflow. And because you can just say, oh yeah, the approaches are different, but the concepts remain the same. But when it becomes part of the workflow, that's where you really cross a bridge, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think, like, so Nigel's touched on the Kubernetes API, and I think that's the import, that's the kicker here, right? And it's also the DevOps culture of that CI/CD pipelines and incorporating version control and all of that, the process, the workflow that goes on to delivering your application to your end user, whether that be external or internal. And if whatever that data management needs to be, whether it's backup like us, whether it's storage, whether it's database, it's about being able to involve or include that, whatever that process is, backup, for example, I'll use that because I know it, is by being able to, if we're going to make a code change to a Postgres or a MySQL database, I need to ensure, because version control knows about the code, it knows about the delivery of the application, it has no idea about the data that sits within the MySQL database. I believe that we need, and think about that in a virtual world, the developer would just throw it over the fence and now it'd be all up to the backup admin to go and back that up with whatever tool that needed to be, protect it at all costs. But from a container point of view, that DevOps person has, DevOps engineer, let's say, has stepped into the role of, now I need to ensure my data is actually in a good spot. The ops part of his title, or their title, sorry, is really the focus on, well, what happens if something bad happens, especially when you've got things like config maps that can manipulate what that data looks like within that MySQL database. I need to be able to make sure that before I commit any code change, because code, as much as that will be declarative and it will keep us in a great step, but any of that code, if that has accidental spelling mistakes, all of the stuff that we all make mistakes on when we're, I'm going to say me, hacking code together. But if that changes or deletes some of our data, then how do we get that back? And how do we get it back fast? And that's where integrating into the API is going to be different to what we've known before, in a way. But that's not just the one use case. This is spread across, like, it's not just data management. We've got areas like this and groups like this across the whole ecosystem that are having similar conversations about networking, security, and all sorts of other areas.
Right. Let's circle back to that topic about observability, Nigel, because I know you have some thoughts about that. And then let's finish up so we can keep people on their edge of their seat. So, because there's lots of conversations that could come out of this.
Yeah, no worries. So do you know what, Alex? Like, I'd never actually thought about what I'm going to say before.
I do that all the time. So, you know, go ahead.
When you mentioned observability, it flicked something in my head. And I think it's because I've been drawing the analogy to networking quite a lot. But from an observability perspective, and even beyond that, in the networking space, when it comes to containers and Kubernetes, although we had like different network drivers and topologies and things being driven by networking companies, Calico, things like that, okay? I feel like we got blindsided by service meshes. So a kind of another infrastructure layer that came in pretty much, in my opinion, from the left field and said, you know what? Okay, like for example, you deploy a service mesh and it will allow you to encrypt container to container communication without the developer having to get involved. But another great thing that it brought was amazing observability into your network traffic. And the power that that brought to being able to optimize applications running on Kubernetes and optimize the network. And I think, look, at the moment, we're going to be going even further in the networking space with eBPF and the way that, you know, we're going to build technologies that will crack open packets and you know, read Kubernetes metadata in there and, you know, evolve the network for your Kubernetes applications. But the idea of a service mesh, I just wondered, like, in the storage and data management space, is there a need for something like that that will give us better both observability into what's going on with our storage, like from a performance and an availability perspective, but also to dynamically draw what's connected for us and take the burden of that away from the developer and just implement it in the infrastructure as either a storage or a data management service mesh, or even an extension to the existing service meshes that we have. And I'm risking, like, totally embarrassing myself on this, because, like I say, I've never thought about it before. But your question just really made me think, like, I don't know, sometimes we're hammering away at trying to fix a solution. You know, the storage people are trying to fix the storage stuff and the network people are trying to fix the network stuff. And then something else quite often comes and we're like, oh, well, this kind of fixes some of our problems for us. So I don't know. It's like, and I'm sure there are people working on ideas like that. very exciting times to come in this space, in my opinion, at least. Like, first few steps on that road that we've talked about, and the road, should I sing, is long with many a winding. No, it's a long road, and the scenery ahead looks brilliant to me.
Long and winding road. Oh, I could think of all kinds of metaphors. Michael, you know, that's an interesting take. You know, Libby and I were actually talking with someone yesterday about this. We were Libby Clark, editorial director and marketing director at the News Stack. We had lunch with someone who had his own questions about Service Mesh. And he said, you know, you think about these complex systems and anything can change, right, at any time. And so now, you know, how do you manage it with a service mesh, right? How do you keep that aligned? You know, there's lots of questions, but maybe you could just sum it up with your own insights here, Michael, because we're coming to the end of the show. You know, on some of your last thoughts, kind of like based upon what you're hearing from Nigel.
Well, yeah, I don't want to coin the term storage mesh, but I think me and Nigel have just made that up. But we'll take that. But it's super interesting. And like we've said all along, it's still early in everything that we're doing. I think it's super interesting. And just this conversation, like everything that we've spoken about, like it sounds super interesting to everyone listening in. I think there's a lot more to come, but also just a big shout out to really Cloud Native Data Management Day is that, well, if you think like this conversation was interesting, then the sessions that we had there, I think there was around 25 sessions on the day, plus the keynotes, plus panel sessions with people actually walking and talking this on a daily basis from different perspectives as well. So people and processes and where they've come from like a historic point of view. I think, yeah, if this sounds interesting, then that's the place to go and catch up on some of that content.
Well, I want to thank you both for your insights and your expertise and knowledge and lively conversation. It is a long and winding road, and that's the fun of it, isn't it? All to come, all exciting times ahead, no lack of challenge. So thank you so much for joining us, Michael and Nigel, and we look forward to talking to you soon.
Cheers, Alex.
Yeah, thank you.
Kasten, an independent Kubernetes business unit within Veeam, is the market leader for Kubernetes backup, disaster recovery, and mobility. Kasten is tackling day two data management challenges by helping teams run cloud-native applications. Its award-winning K10 data management platform is easy to use, scalable, secure, and runs everywhere Kubernetes exists.
Thanks for listening. Subscribe on Simplecast to listen to more episodes of the New Stack Makers. Then create and share your favorite audiogram using our Simplecast player. For more great stories, go to thenewstack.io. What makes for a great tech podcast? The New Stack is conducting our first podcast listener survey, and we want to hear from you. Your feedback will help us bring you the best makers show we can. Please take 5 minutes to fill out the survey and enter to win a $250 Amazon gift card. Go to thenewstack.io/survey, and thank you for listening. We'd love to hear your thoughts.